All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Make sure everybody's getting the word out because we're still getting questions here at the church, and they're getting questions at the Christian Television Network. Where on earth are we on Saturday night? It's actually been one of the most, it actually told me it was the people calling in and emailing in and messaging in about our show has been the most messages they've ever gotten in 20 years. So people are asking about, and I'm not making that up. That's what the director said, the CTN director said. So get the word out to as many people as you possibly can that watch this on CTN, that this is where we are internationally live right now on CTN. So, I mean, this is it. Now, normally Monday through Thursday, we're only locally live on CTN. Yeah. Now we are nationally and internationally live on CTN right now. So just get the word out to as many people as you can. I really can't do it because if they're not watching right now, there's no point in telling them. So there we go. I want to say hey to everybody in the chat. Let's see what we got here. Everyone just throw them on the chat right now. If you get on there, Fedora the Explorer is on. Moto WNJBH is on. Lap Picket Fence is on. Joe Dirt is on. Why Not Me is on. W1 Honey Badger is on. Waterlide 6046 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Aphrodites is on. Hassle TV is on. Horror Hotel is on. Cue the Band is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Mike Griffin is on. D9597 is on. Man, you guys are fast. John Czar is on. McGroy Nation. Wendy McGroin is on. DLH or DIH79. Hi, Pastor. Hey, back to you. Ralph of 9821 is on. Neon Window is on. Yo, Tom. Yo, back to you. John Phillips 1973 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on, which is a woman. Hello, hello, Miss Leon Fish Puppy. Hi, back to you. Lynn Custer is on. Vanessa Tomas is on. Love you, Vanessa. She comes to the church. Alpha Acres is on. R Major 79 is on. Griffin Horror is on. Phil McCrackens is on. That's a great way to stop right then and there. All right, I got a couple. Well, no, I don't have a couple minutes. I've got like, what's my time?
It's like a minute and a half.
I got like
40 seconds.
Yeah, so it should go down. Like so 50 is what? Oh, yeah. Right there, the red timer. Red timer. All right, let me do this one real quick. Just so everybody knows, right after the McAuliffe interview that's going to happen here in about 2 minutes. Right after the McCullough interview, I'll be live the entire time. It is a recorded interview. We recorded it earlier in the week. I think it was Wednesday, right, Aaron? Yep. Something like that. So it's recorded. I'm live on the chat. Aaron's live in the chat, so we can talk in the chat. And then right after, I'm coming back for some rampaging. So be ready for it. And I'm just going to, all right, so I've got about 2 minutes right now. Yep. Here we go. So we can do this one real quick. RNC research video. Let's look at how Kamenomics is working out. Bidenomics, now it's Kamenomics. We got going on Kamenomics. Job report much weaker than expected. Play for me, Naz.
We came in much weaker than expected on non-farm. We came in at 114,000 jobs on non-farm. The estimate was 175,000 jobs on non-farm. The unemployment employment rate unexpectedly went up. We went up to 4.3%. We were looking for a rate of 4.1%. Government jobs, 17,000 on the government job story, and that is actually a lot less than what we got last month. Remember, last month on government jobs, we had 70,000. Now we've only got 17,000. All right, private sector jobs, 97,000. Again, that is much weaker than expected. We were looking for 148,000 private sector jobs. Factory jobs, only 1,000.
One.
Dow Jones down, NASDAQ down, S&P down, everything is down, jobs report is down. Put the next slide for me, Naz, here in this closing minute until the Peter McCullough interview. Over the last year, native-born Americans have lost, get this now, if you're born in America, you've lost 1.9 million jobs while the Biden administration says that they're cultivating millions of jobs. But the net loss is 1.2 million jobs, while foreign-born employment has increased 1.3 million. And when we come back, we'll delve deep into this, and you'll actually see the only jobs that are actually being cultivated, that are being made right now, are healthcare jobs, government jobs, and illegal migrant jobs. All right, let's hop to the Peter McCullough interview. Be back in a minute. Dr. Peter McCullough to the Tom Lively podcast. Really appreciate you being here, doctor. As I just said a minute ago, and I really mean this, we have showed literally hundreds of your videos, hundreds of your Twitter posts on this show over the last 4.5 years. To myself, my audience, the church that I pastor, I pastor a church here in Northport, Florida, of about 1,000 people. You are a hero to all of us. Everybody knows who you are. You may not, you probably know that by now with all the, I've seen you on Joni Lamb's program on Daystar and everything else. So you're well known, obviously, in our circles, the evangelical circles, obviously the conservative circles. You really are a hero to all of us. And I'm just going to start off. It's so many things. I have so much to talk to you about. I've got you for 40, 45 minutes or so. There's so many things. So I'm just going to start off with some of the latest stuff and backtrack a little bit with vaccines and COVID and protocols. And you have new treatment protocols for the vaccine injured. I want to get into all of that. But I want to start off on the shocking study that you conducted. I'm sure it's a team that involved you. The groundbreaking autopsy study that you submitted on the 21st of June this year, and always forgive me for my lack of pronunciation skills for medical terms, but I know the Lancet had turned it down in their preprint server. They turned down the study or refused to post it or retracted it. And I guess Elsevier and Forensic Science International has decided to censor it and retract it. And just as a lead off for you, the study revealed that 73.9% of post-vax autopsy revealed that the people died of vaccines. So can you tell us just a little bit about this study?
This is a shocking development. So I led a team of both Canadian and U.S. Physicians, you know, experts in cardiac pathology. I'm a cardiologist. And we re-reviewed all the autopsies published of people who died after the vaccine, hundreds of them. And, you know, early on, some people took the vaccine, but they died of other causes. And we could clearly see that they died of something that was completely unrelated to the vaccine, or they were terminal in a nursing home. But as you stated, of those who died after the vaccine, 73.9% died of a known vaccine problem. You know, myocarditis, heart damage, a giant blood clot shooting to the lungs. These were obvious adjudicated cases. So this was published on the Zenodo preprint server, which is the European Commission preprint server. So it's available to everybody. Lancet turned it down, but they accepted it on their preprint server. It took it down after 24 hours. It was getting record downloads. That's the reason why we went to Zenodo.
I saw that.
Yeah, and then we went from journal to journal, and we had editors say, "Well, you know, we don't want to touch this paper. We don't want to handle this paper." The fear among the editorial world was extraordinary. And finally, we went to the forensics literature, Forensic Science International, the publishers, Lancet. We went through a very detailed peer review process. We answered all the reviewers' questions. The paper was accepted, copyrighted, contracted, and, you know, ready to be published. And then in the last month, Forensic Science International said, "Oh, we've had concerns from the community. We have two more pages of concerns we want you to answer." So, you know, this was not an official peer review. We told the journal, "Listen, you know, there's a standard letter to the editor and reply process you could do after it's published, but it's kind of too late to do this. Having said that, we'll consider this even as yet another reviewer." So we did more changes in the manuscript, largely gave us a chance to update some of the references, and a rebuttal letter, sent it back to them. We thought it was fully published. They sent us the invoice for us to pay. So I paid, the fee was, I think, about $3,600. I paid $3,600 to get it published. Then they tell us yesterday, we're going to retract it after they've taken the money.
Right.
And this is unheard of in scientific publishing. It's obvious that outside agents are influencing these journals. They don't want the word to get out that the vaccine is causing autopsy-proven death.
So, doctor, on a personal level, and correct me, of course, if I mispronounce anything, as a world-renowned cardiologist, you're the most published cardiologist on the planet, to my knowledge that I've read and researched. What is it like for you on a personal level after all of these years in the medical field as a highly respected authority to be treated the way that you've been treated over the last 4.5 years, culminating with you see your own peers, because I don't know all of what peer reviewed means, but you see your own peers rejecting you, and you know, I don't mean to sound ignorant here, but you know that they know. I mean, you know that what they're doing, they know that they're lying. They know that they are censoring pertinent information, factual information. What is it like for you on a personal level to see your peers behave this way, even in these publications like The Lancet that you probably trusted for 30 or 40 years? What's it like to see your peers treat you in this way or treat facts in this way?
I know the business well. I'm a former professor of medicine. I've been the chief academic scientific officer for a whole health system. I've been the editor of 2 major journals. As you cited, one of the most published cardiologists in the world. In the area of heart and kidney disease, right. I am the most published person right. in the world. So I know this business. I know about peer review. As an editor, let me tell you, in 20 years, I never retracted a paper. Because once the peer review process is done correctly and papers are properly vetted, they're published. Now, not everybody agrees with the results. People can write letters to the editor. There's a standard dialogue that happens afterwards.
Right? That's science. That's science.
That's the process of science. What we're seeing is unethical retractions that violate the Committee on Publication Ethics, or COPE guidelines. The COPE guidelines. And what this means is, at the level of the editors and the publishers now, we see unethical activities going on, that there's suppression of critical information on vaccine safety to intentionally mislead the bioscientific literature and the public and convince people, in a sense, to keep taking vaccines. And this is a one-way street. Anything that goes against this vaccine narrative is going to be suppressed.
So you actually see it's got to be absolutely riveting to your soul to see doctors act in a cowardly way, because a lot of them, they don't want to be on the wrong side of whatever issue, wrong side of the narrative, the approved narrative, because if they are, it'll cost them their reputation and their jobs, as it's cost you so much over the last 4 years. It's cost you so much, as Ryan Cole and numerous other doctors that have actually, taken a stand. But it just has to absolutely rivet your soul to see doctors knowing that they're going to cost people their lives because they're too afraid of losing their jobs. That's got to be unbelievable.
Well, let me tell you, I think it goes deeper than that for some. Now, this paper was accepted and presented as an abstract at the American Society of Microbiology. So this paper has met the highest standard possible. So myself and McCullough Foundation, Nick Holscher, were there presenting the paper at the poster. I got to tell you this vignette. And this older doctor comes up and he's holding his arm. He said, I took 5 shots in this arm and now I'm disabled. I can't use the arm. He said, but if a booster comes out this fall, I'm going to take it in the other arm.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's so absolutely startling to me. And it's weird too, because The Lancet keeps popping up, and obviously I've done my research over the last, 4.5 years, and The Lancet seems to always be used by people. I don't even want to say pro-vaccine side, because I'm not anti all vaccines. I'm anti the mRNA vaccinations. That's what I'm anti, the emergency use mRNA vaccinations, both for bird flu and COVID-19. But it just seems like when at the origins of COVID, I don't mean to drag you too far into the deep waters with everything going back 4.5 years, but Anthony Fauci used The Lancet to put together a consortium of quote unquote scientists to say that this wasn't a lab originated virus, that it wasn't a gain of function virus. And they all came together and did that, in The Lancet, and it seems like The Lancet keeps popping up. And I'm just wondering what's in it for these doctors, and what's in it for The Lancet, what's in it for the scientists to continue to propagate myths about this vaccine at the detriment of people's health and even their lives. I mean, what's in it
for
them?
Well, let me clarify the points. So kind of the big journals are Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, and JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. Those are kind of, let's say, the big three.
Right.
Lancet in 2020 published a completely fraudulent paper saying that hydroxychloroquine was dangerous to COVID patients. It turns out it was completely fraudulent. The data were made up. A couple of the authors from Harvard, and in the end, it was retracted because the information didn't even exist. Matter of fact, they reported on patients hospitalized in their 40s in like 2020. Just like we didn't hospitalize people in their 40s, so we knew it was a fraudulent paper. Now, what happened was Fauci, who is complicit in the creation of SARS-CoV-2, he called a meeting early in 2020. With a prominent vaccinologists. This is all in the US congressional testimony. Right. And then they actually used another journal, Nature Medicine, to publish the first of 12 fraudulent papers saying the vaccine came out of nature when they knew it came out of the lab because they created it. So what we're seeing is wide open fraud, and we're seeing bias. This is very important. Do you know, in, let's say, New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, and Lancet, if we were to take any other drug, let's say a statin or an ACE inhibitor, there would be a debate. Some people would say, yes, the drugs are very good. Other patients would say, no, the risks outweigh the benefits. There's always a balance on everything. Let's say back surgery. There'll be some papers saying, yes, we should do back surgery for back pain. Other papers say, no, it's dangerous. We shouldn't. There's always a balance in New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, and Lancet, right? Listen, for the vaccines, every single paper says the vaccines are safe and effective. Not a single paper says we shouldn't vaccinate people.
Right. And you see how it turns out that they're wrong about everything as the whole vaccine rollout came out. First, they come out and they say that it stops transmission infection. Turns out it doesn't stop transmission infection. Then it comes out in hearings that Pfizer never even tested to see if it stopped transmission infection, which rules out all mandates. So everything, and of course, they're saying that it's the dreaded three words, safe and effective. 28 out of 32 women miscarried in the Pfizer vaccine trials. All the, everything, one thing comes out, one lie after another. So let me ask you this. Let me just move on from the censorship, which I could literally spend the entire 45 minutes on censorship alone. But I want to hear what you have to say about, the excess deaths that have come out, the Society of Actuaries is putting them in the tens of millions of excess deaths worldwide. I know that you've come out with a number that you believe that the United States has experienced or will experience. Then you've got I know I'm dumping a lot on you at one time. Then you've got the VAERS data. You got Edward Dowd coming out with the Society of Actuaries data on the, all these life insurance companies are standing around acting like they don't know why the excess deaths have gone up, depending on the age group, 10 to 30%. What have you seen in your own patients as far as vaccine injuries? Then I want to get into cancer, blood clots, ADE, myocarditis with you about how the vaccine causes those things. But I wanted to get it down. I wanted to get a personal viewpoint from you first about what you've seen in your own office as far as vaccine injured people.
Well, I just finished office this morning, and I see a steady flow of patients who've suffered vaccine heart damage from myocarditis, now have heart failure, atrial fibrillation. Some have had cardiac arrest. I see routinely strokes, both ischemic as well as thrombotic, Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralyzed patients, small fiber neuropathy. Third area is blood clots bigger than I've ever seen before. Now, this is with the COVID vaccine and with COVID, by the way. COVID alone can cause giant blood clots, and I've seen that. And then lastly, immune system abnormalities, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome. Recently, just did a show with Alison Jane Reed, who's the editor of Luminaries in the UK. She developed Sjogren's syndrome after one AstraZeneca vaccine shot. It's all due to the spike protein. The spike protein is the spine on the surface of the virus. Let me show you a model, if I can hold this up. This is a virus. This is the spike protein. Now, when you get COVID, you get the spike protein in the body, And when you get the vaccine, you get a massive dose of spike protein in the body. The human body can't get rid of it. That's what causes these miserable syndromes. It's the spike protein's physically in the heart, the brain, the blood clots. That's what's the problem. Now, in terms of deaths, in preparing for this, our CDC on their website, the CDC is at this point in time reporting as of June 28th, 2024, 18,951 Americans have died after the shot. That's what the CDC is confirming with death right. certificates. And there's no controversy here. People who report these believe the vaccine is the cause of death. Otherwise, we don't report it because there's federal fines and imprisonment if there's anything that's not accurate. So believe me, these deaths are all vaccine deaths. Of them, about 1150 or so, they die right in the vaccine center or a few hours afterwards. That's the reason why they have to have
these numbers down. Wow.
Yeah, the crash cards. Wow. Another 1250 die the next day. That's how instantaneous it is. Now, the accepted underreporting rate, which is conservative in FDA testimony, because if we don't have the vaccine card, the death records, and death certificate, we can't report. The underreporting factor here, because people take the shots and die at home, and people,
nobody
you
knows
know,
why.
Right. A doctor doesn't get the information. Underreporting factor is 30. So if you do 30 times that number, it comes up to over 550,000 Americans have died after the vaccine. This is worse.
Yeah, that's the number I heard you talking about before. That's I was trying to usher you to that. And I was a police officer for 25 years, so I know how the death process works at home. And if you're a cop and you respond to a death at home, if abnormal, whatever, all you have to do is get a medical examiner or a doctor right. to call up and say, I'll sign the death certificate, and nobody ever knows why the person died. So they have right. no idea. Nobody has any idea, and it's up to the family whether they do autopsies or not, which I've also heard you call out to the public. Please, if you have a family member who died under suspicious circumstances where they had no health problems before, can you please have them get an autopsy so maybe we can find out why they're dying?
Right, but the autopsy, you have to demand that they do reverse qPCR to look for Pfizer or Moderna in the body, in the heart, and actually stain for the spike protein. We're seeing a lot of autopsies that are signed out death due to natural causes. Right. Even in teenagers or people in their 20s who are healthy, there are no natural causes of somebody suddenly dying, you know, right. in their 20s. So even the autopsies aren't trustable unless we actually specifically look unless for the vaccine. Now, right. you asked the question, how big is this worldwide? An analysis from Dennis Rancourt, an epidemiologist in Montreal, mid-summer of 2023, about a year ago, had the number at 17 million vaccine deaths worldwide. Right. 17 million. And as you indicated, every death registry is up all over the world. Every cancer registry is up over the world. We have data now from King County in Seattle, where they have very good paramedic data, when we have this under publication, that the cardiac arrests have skyrocketed in the vaccinated. And now there are peer-reviewed papers by Rancourt, Mostert, and Alessandria, multiple different regions in the world, all showing it's the vaccine that's causing the increase in death.
Yeah, and so with that, Dr. Sfarz, that was, you know, 2023, 17 million. So obviously it's gone up. So let me get into some specifics with you, because you can reveal the science behind the deaths. But first, in a generic sort of statement or a question, it's got to be difficult for you to be watching the news. Just had an NFL player have to leave training camp because of blood clots. Again, a 20-something-year-old man with no prior medical conditions. In my own neighborhood, I live in a small neighborhood, rural neighborhood out in the middle of nowhere, 30 houses, one person out of nowhere gets stage 4 cancer. Another person drops dead on their toilet, and then another person gets stage 4 cancer and dies in the matter of a few months, all in my little neighborhood. So when you're looking at worldwide, whether it's Justin Bieber and his wife, and I think they have the facial paralysis issues and things like that, you have to be thinking when you're looking at what's happening around the world, because it's easy to hide. You know, people have the excess deaths as high as 35 million now. I was reporting the 17 million for a long time. I've been reporting the 35 million. But whatever the number is, it's easy to hide those numbers in a population of almost 8 billion people. But it's still obviously a Holocaust. Edward Dow puts it at a once in 200-year phenomenon, a World War II-level phenomenon. So when you're seeing it happen, as a doctor who actually knows why it's happening, the rest of us go, okay, it's the vaccination. I know that the cause is S-spike protein, but I don't know why S-spike protein causes it. You have to be thinking, this is horrific. As you sit there and understand, you know, as I would understand the law in the state of Florida as a cop for 25 years, you as a cardiologist for all of these years, for all of these decades, you have to be looking around the world going, I know what that is. And it has to absolutely just trouble your spirit to see that going on.
And you're right. I know what it is. And we see efforts to cover it up all the time. I mean, one of the best examples is Damar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills player who has a cardiac arrest when the Bills play Denver. He's tackling a player on the kickoff. And, you know, I got called, Tucker Carlson called me on to go on his show, you know, right away and give my opinion. Yeah. I'm a cardiologist. You know, I know cardiac arrest inside out, backwards and forward. I said, this is a vaccine cardiac arrest. And the stories we heard,
impact thing, whatever that was.
No, that you know, they tackle hard all the time in the NFL. They have pads. It's never happened that a tackle causes a cardiac arrest. Right. That was the vaccine. And instead of coming out and saying, "Yeah, it was the vaccine," and this is what we're going to do, what they did is they positioned him to promote cardiac arrest, awareness with defibrillators. They let him lightly be in pads last year. He went to training camp for a little bit. I think he played like five plays or something last year. You could tell it was just a token effort. He really needed to have an ICD. So myself and another cardiologist, we actually wrote the Buffalo Evening News and the Buffalo Bills, and we told him, listen, we know this is a vaccine cardiac arrest. He should have a defibrillator in. And you're taking a huge risk by trying to play him again. And I think, you know, for Hamlin's benefit, I think they listened. An athlete, once they've had a cardiac arrest due to the myocarditis, they really shouldn't go on the field again unless they have a defibrillator. Now, once they get under treatment, I got plenty of athletes under treatment. If they haven't had a cardiac arrest, we can get them back. But now we just heard about Kansas City defensive player B.J. Thomas, again, a cardiac arrest in the locker room. A lot of people said, well, how come there haven't been more cardiac arrests? And our data from Seattle tell us you need to have a population of about 2 million before you'll see the epidemiologic signal. Right now, it's just case by case by case. Right. But we can look at all kinds of public figures. I look at Megyn Kelly. She said, listen, I took the vaccine. I've got an autoimmune syndrome. Look at Eric Clapton, who I know. Eric said, I took the vaccine and my neuropathy get worse. President Biden has taken six shots. He has now advancing dementia. He has had prior brain surgery, other things, but the vaccine contributed. The Koreans have shown that now in a paper by Rowe and colleagues. Look at Dianne Feinstein. She has neuroinvasive varicella zoster and Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, and she dies of this. That's a classic vaccine injury syndrome. Justin Bieber's got a milder form. And he's got Ramsey-Hunt. He can't sing or perform for 2 years. His wife gets a blood clot after the vaccine. Look at Jamie Foxx. You know, and I told Jamie Foxx, listen, the vaccines are not safe. He takes them. He has a devastating stroke. He's not back in action. He was in the hospital for months after his stroke. Mitch McConnell developed a vaccine neurologic problem. We can go on and on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was people don't even realize, too, like J.J. Watt from the Texans. He retired. He was perfectly healthy. His heart just stopped. Out of nowhere. You're talking about like an Adonis of a human being. Out of nowhere. Yeah, his heart stops.
Look at J.J. Watt. There was a Jets player who got a big blood clot. There was a Cleveland Browns receiver, myocarditis. Look at Lauren Boebert. She's in the House of Representatives. She has to have huge blood clots removed from her legs. And she's a very thin young gal. Look at Nancy Mace, who said she took the vaccine and she has neurologic injury. I mean, it's all around us.
Yeah, and you really, if you look at that small sample, too, of just famous people, look at the percentage of famous people and famous athletes who are now impaired, at least to some degree, because we get caught up in the deaths, but not necessarily the infirmity and the sicknesses caused by the vaccine. Let me ask you, I'll use this as a launching point for myocarditis. First of all, I'll need you to we kind of know what it is, but I would rather hear your explanation. But I heard that there was a study, and you could correct me if I'm wrong on this. I've heard other people advocate it too, as well as doctors, but there's a study of Big Ten athletes where it turned out that 50% of Big Ten athletes turned up with undetected myocarditis. And you don't need to confirm or deny that, but my point with all of this is, first of all, to explain myocarditis, why it causes both sudden heart attacks and even potentially sudden death, as we're seeing all around the globe with the, if you've looked at the statistics, and I put this out all the time, this is actual fact for sure, is that from in the 50 prior years, so basically from 71 to 2021, there's 1,700 athletes in 50 years dropped dead on the field, and we've had just as many athletes drop dead on the field since the vaccine rollout. So in a matter of 3 years, we've had just as many die in 3 years as 50 years, and the study shows that 50% of Big Ten athletes had undetected myocarditis upon testing. What is myocarditis? What is potentially, if this is accurate, what is undetected myocarditis? What are the dangers? Because, and last thing, I know these are long questions. I'm just so thrilled to have you here. I'm running off at the mouth a little bit. But, because they portrayed myocarditis like, oh, you know, it's a sneeze. It's a scratchy throat. I mean, people get myocarditis from this vaccination. No problem whatsoever. And they get myocarditis from COVID too. I understand that. But as you've put out, as other doctors put out, the percentage chance of getting myocarditis is way higher from the vax than it is from actual COVID-19. Yeah. So what are these things? What's your viewpoint on these athletes? What is myocarditis? What is undetected myocarditis? What's the danger of myocarditis? The survivability of myocarditis? So I leave that all
okay,
in your
hands. Let me explain to you. So myocarditis is heart inflammation. And let me say, before COVID, there was myocarditis, and it's very rare. I saw two cases my entire career. It can happen after a virus called Coxsackie virus, adenovirus, and sometimes it comes and we don't know what causes it, giant cell myocarditis. But I saw two cases my entire career, super rare. Now COVID-19 comes, and there's concern the virus could cause myocarditis. Now the Big Ten does a big study. They study thousands of athletes, and they find about 36 putative cases, no hospitalizations, no deaths. And during that year, about 30% of college kids got COVID. So the Big Ten study showed, basically did not show COVID could cause myocarditis. There was a paper by two Valley colleagues from Israel showing, again, the virus does not cause myocarditis. There's been autopsies of people who died of COVID, and there's no myocarditis. So the virus does not cause myocarditis. There's a false talking point that the virus causes more myocarditis than the vaccine. It's false because it's just from hospital, what's called troponin data. That's just a falsely positive blood test that people can have in the hospital. It's not myocarditis. So don't be fooled by even the American College of Cardiology says that it's incorrect. COVID illness, which is all we've covered so far, does not cause myocarditis.
All right. That's the thing. So those other viruses that you named, you've seen through your clinical practice, those viruses in rare circumstances cause myocarditis. But in your current practice and of all of your understanding, COVID-19 does not even cause myocarditis at all, for all intents and purposes.
It doesn't. I have one case in my practice, a guy from Michigan who got sick with COVID, and he had a heart attack. I don't think it's myocarditis. I've looked at it carefully. Now, COVID itself can precipitate a heart attack, which is something else in older people. But let me tell you now, in my practice, I have hundreds of patients with vaccine myocarditis, hundreds. And the paper you're quoting is by Nakahara and colleagues, joint Japanese-U.S. collaboration. University of Texas at Houston is co-authors. Dr. Jagat Narulia is one of the authors. There, 100% of those who took a vaccine have an abnormal cardiac PET scan. positron emission tomography, 100%. A normal healthy heart utilizes and prefers free fatty acids as its fuel. But when the heart gets diseased and actually ischemic, not getting enough blood flow, probably because of what's called microclotting in the capillaries, it actually prefers glucose and takes up 18-fluorodeoxyglucose. This was a huge study of vaxxed, unvaxxed. Every person who took the vaccine, their cardiac PET scan was abnormal. This was very disturbing. Those who had a sore arm even had more side effects and more severe, intense PET scan abnormalities than not. Now, if you look at who has clinical myocarditis, there's only two prospective cohort studies, one by Bergen, the other one by Mansugian. And the answer there is 2.5% per shot. So with each shot, there's about a 2.5% rate of heart damage. And that adds up, obviously, over many shots.
Which COVID is far more survivable than 2%. So you're better off getting COVID than taking that shot. So
well, that
myocarditis
that's a good point, but let me finish.
Let me finish.
Very important paper published by Holscher and colleagues. And you know, by the way, when I testify in the Senate and House of Representatives, I cite all the papers. And the last time I testified, I had the panel confirm that Anthony Fauci can't or doesn't cite a single paper, just so you know. So testimony like this is pinpoint. Paper by Holscher and colleagues show that when the doctors think the myocarditis caused the death, like let's say Damar Hamlin, 100% of the time it's confirmed at autopsy. Of those deaths after myocarditis that have occurred, and there's an autopsy, not a single one was diagnosed before the cardiac arrest.
Right.
This is important. Right. So there's almost no chance to diagnose somebody unless the doctor really has a high index of suspicion.
Right. So with myocarditis, it's inflammation of the heart. So almost, is it heart swelling? Is that really what it is? All right.
At autopsy, the heart is swollen. It's heavier. Right. And the electricity, when it conducts through the heart for the heart rhythm, it can actually go into an abnormal pattern called ventricular tachycardia. That degenerates to ventricular fibrillation. That's what you see in your police work. And that's what caused the cardiac death. Now, there's two times when this happens. It's during sports or physical activity and between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Early in the morning. Both times, there's a surge of adrenaline that triggers the cardiac arrest, as published by Catagiani from Brazil. So we know that, in fact, 90% of those who get myocarditis are men. Peak age is 18 to 24. But it can happen. You know, the Cardinals, Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians
was hospitalized with vaccine myocarditis, just as an example. He's in his 70s.
Doctor, I've never heard that before. What was the time? The 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., what was that again?
Yeah, it's during sports or exertion or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Really?
And that's a normal time where we have a in our body. That's what wakes us up in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. That's the first I've heard of that. That's amazing. So basically what happens with myocarditis when someone ends up in cardiac arrest is that the heart cannot properly pump, cannot properly move around.
It can't conduct electricity normally. Right. And by the way, when they go out, it's lights out. So I had a chance to interview and examine pilot Bob Snow. He was the pilot, American Airlines, here in Dallas. He had a vaccine myocarditis cardiac arrest right in the jetway. And he was resuscitated, took six shocks. Fortunately, the paramedics got him back. And he's okay now. And he's got a defibrillator in. And I talked to him. I said, did you feel any pain or anything? He says, no. He goes, I was just talking to the stewardesses. We're about ready to leave. And he goes, it's lights out. So when it happens, it's lights out. So when Damar Hamlin tackled that guy and he got up and he clapped, after that, it was lights out. Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. I also read a study that you cited that the most common side effect with the vaccination was 60% of patients had pain or arm pain or something along those lines. I've got to get into blood clots with you. It's so many antibody dependent enhancement syndrome, but on the 60% of patients with pain, Does that mean that do they clinically get worse, or their pain stay isolated? Did it mean arm pain or body pain, like fibromyalgia, or what was that exactly?
Yeah, it means like when they have a vaccine injury, it's like, you know, what do you have? And patients have chest pain. That's very common. You know, arm or leg pain when there's a blood clot, nerve pain when there's neuropathy. We're talking more than just a sore arm. Craniofacial pain, trigeminal neuralgia. I saw a case of that today. So the point is, the vaccine injury syndromes are painful.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So let me get into this with you. First, I'm going to go to one of my pet peeves for the last, you know, well, 3+ years after the vaccine rollout is antibody dependent enhancement syndrome. I could never explain it correctly, except it's basically an immune response problem. You have an immunity problem. And just as a quick to launch you into this is that the death rate inside of Australia, which espouses about a 96% vaccination rate inside the country of Australia for people vaccinated at least twice, where twice as many people died of the least virulent variant, Omicron, as Alpha and Delta combined. So more people are dying of a runny nose and scratchy throat than they did of the Alpha variant and the Delta variant even combined. And it's my assertion, as obviously, you know, a layman, is that they have a very compromised immune system. So can you explain antibody dependent enhancement syndrome to everybody?
You know, the first sets of vaccines, 1, 2, and 3, they were actually all the same genetic code. So patients kept getting loaded with the same spike protein. And there was a paper by Wheatley in 2021 saying, wait a minute, this is going to distract the immune system. The virus is going to mutate, and it's going to easily get around the vaccines. Antibody-dependent enhancement's even worse than that, where the antibodies that are raised up by the vaccines paradoxically help the virus get into the body and cause disease. When we keep giving the body these shots, and if you follow the CDC recommendations now, fully vaccinated would be 10 shots this fall, 12 shots for immunocompromised.
This is
unbelievable. What happens is the body gets fatigued, and then it produces, instead of IgG 1 and 2, which are strong antibodies, it produces IgG 4 in response to the vaccines. And so when you get COVID, you get no protection, or even the antibodies actually help the virus cause more disease. That would explain the Australian data. And it clearly would explain the Cleveland Clinic study by Shretha and colleagues, showing that among 51,000 workers, the unvaccinated are the best. If they get COVID, they get very good immunity. And that with each shot, the chances of getting COVID up.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So the best way, just kind of in layman's terms, as I've been saying this for, you know, 3.5 years, is it turns your antibodies from a warrior into an usher, and yeah, just kind of ushers the sickness all over your body. And we're just seeing all of these people die of really, you know, common colds that end up blowing into pneumonia and everything else because they don't have the ability. It's not AIDS, obviously, but it's obviously, you know, a shot that causes your immune system to be compromised to whatever percentage. And one more question on that. Does it get worse per vaccination? Like, does it compromise your immune system? You know, it's bad. It compromises at shot one. Does it get worse in shot two? Does it get worse in shot three?
Yeah, the Cleveland, you know, the CDC and the companies have never produced a cumulative dose toxicity study. This is so dangerous to have vaccines out there where no one's actually studied the safety of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shots. But the Cleveland Clinic data suggests with every additional shot, the immune system gets weaker. And, you know, the Australia inquiry into COVID-19 vaccine safety, they actually have an official term. It's called vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, or VAIDS.
VAIDS. Right.
It's like HIV, except for... So the point is the vaccines are almost certainly weakening the immune system.
Hey, doctor, real quick, on a side note, off of the COVID vaccines for just a moment, because I've also seen a lot of your testimonials about the vaccine schedule on the whole, something along the lines of when you and I were kids, I'm 55, when you and I were kids, we got roughly three, four vaccines, something like that, and now it's up like 100, or depending on the COVID vaccine schedule, or something along those lines. So two-part question, is that number correct? Second part is what's come out with like this, lately with what Stanley Plotkin, the godfather of vaccines, has been testifying to, that really no vaccines have been properly safety tested, for lack of a better term. There's been no placebo group testing, controlled testing on any vaccines. What's your opinion about all that, or what would you say about all of that?
Yeah, I've never looked at the routine schedule critically before. I just accepted them like you. I took all the shots. Yeah, my right. kids took
Everybody
all the
did.
Shots.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I took all the shots. But we've learned that, you know, we've been let down by the regulatory agencies. The companies cut corners. You know, when we were kids, I think three shots covered five diseases. Now, right. if you take the COVID shots every 6 months and include a new monoclonal antibody called Beyfortus given at birth, we're looking at 108 shots a kid takes. At one of the visits, they receive over a dozen shots as a baby, over a dozen at once. Wow. And I can tell you, it's really disturbing that 78% of sudden infant deaths occur within a week of one of these big batteries of shots. 50% occur within 48 hours. If the children get so sick after the shots that they have a seizure, there's about a 40% chance they develop a neuropsychiatric disorder like attention deficit disorder or autism. So it's not looking good at all. It looks like this whole vaccine schedule got out of control.
Well, and those numbers that you're stating as far as kids getting their vaccines is similar to, you know, I'm not saying the numbers are similar, but it's just kind of a similar circumstance to the numbers that you were outlining earlier about people actually died in the clinic they were getting their COVID vaccine in, or died at home right. shortly after. I mean, it just all seems to line up. But it appears that as what was found out with the COVID-19 vaccinations, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, or anything else, they weren't properly vetted. They weren't properly tested. And as just another side note, isn't it a matter of the fox watching the hen house? Because you have Moderna sharing royalties and sharing patents with the NIH. Fauci's getting rich off of it. And so you have the people who are both regulating the vaccine companies, profiting off of the vaccines, and then mandating the vaccines they profit off of. 75 members of Congress own Pfizer stock. So, and that really is the definition of fascism, by the way. Everyone thinks it has to do with racism. It's the merging of corporatism and government. So you have the very people mandating the vaccinations are the ones who are profiting from the vaccination. And how can you be a unbiased doctor or researcher or scientist when you're going to be profiting off of the proliferation of these vaccinations? You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. So, cancer. Well, first, what do you think, before I close the door completely on myocarditis? You saw a few myocarditis patients in your practice over however many years. Just give me one more time on that. Roughly pre-vaccination, how many myocarditis patients you saw, and just do the best you can on a regular basis versus how many myocarditis patients you've seen post-vaccine rollout.
Well, I've been in practice now coming up on 40 years, so before COVID, I saw two cases. One was fatal. Since the vaccines, I've seen hundreds of cases.
Oh my God.
I see them every week in my office. That's how common vaccine myocarditis is. Cases are exploding. Do you know there's a paper in British Medical Journal by Lane and colleagues describing 18,000 cases of vaccine myocarditis in one paper? Before that, before the pandemic, we would see, you know, a case series of one, two, or three cases. I think the biggest study ever of myocarditis before COVID had 500 cases over decades. Now we're seeing thousands with the vaccine.
And no, outside of the few people like you who are willing to risk it all to tell the truth, no other cardiology association, nobody will speak about this, even though they see it. They have to see it because those people are lining up with their practices. They have to see it. Who else are you going to go to but a cardiologist if you're having chest pain or, you know,
the American College of Cardiology put out a statement in 2022. It said that COVID causes more myocarditis than the vaccine, and so therefore we should take more vaccines. That they had no concern on safety whatsoever. Listen, our FDA says the vaccines cause myocarditis. This is not controversial. In the UK and in Britain, they actually have formal guidelines on how to diagnose and manage vaccine myocarditis. We should never have a vaccine that causes so much heart damage that it becomes part of routine care.
Well, and they call it rare. They call it rare. And then Pfizer comes up with protocols to treat myocarditis very, very, very suspiciously. All right, let me try to cover this stuff with you because I would keep you for 3 hours straight. But I'm like, first of all, they've just approved, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I was reading it off of your Twitter page, but I would never want to assume that I got it right. And I've got to make sure I get you at least a couple minutes with cancer and blood clots, but this popped into my head, so I have to ask you because it's going to be the latest thing. Is an emergency use authorization been approved for the bird flu vaccination? Okay.
Yeah, Becerra, HHS secretary, has just greased the wheels with a EUA bird flu approval mechanism. Listen, we already have an FDA. There is no emergency. We're not seeing large numbers of dead poultry. There's no serious human cases. In the United States, we've never lost a human to bird flu. The legacy 53% mortality rate from Southeast Asia doesn't apply, you know, decades ago with no health care and massive exposure. This is a completely government fabricated situation. The government's doing mass PCR testing on farms, you know, generating false positive cases, declaring emergency, culling the poultry. Now they're going to be pushing vaccines on workers and the chickens themselves. None of that needs to happen, by the way. Natural immunity will carry all the animals through this. We don't need to do anything outside of just let it happen. This has been going on for 100 years. Everyone will get through this without any public health agency intervention.
Right. Just a bird flu will most likely, a bird will most likely survive a bird flu, just like most humans survive a flu. Let me one more question on bird flu. And thank you, doctor, for all of your time. I'm just so amazed. I'm talking to you right now. I'm really kind of starstruck. But anyway, do you believe, if I read a lot of your stuff, do you believe that this strain of bird flu possibly or most likely came from gain of function research?
It looks like it came right out of a government lab. Yeah,
Georgia,
USDA
right?
Poultry Research Center in Athens, Georgia. Now, it was a milder strain, fortunately, but they were trying to get it into mallard ducks, and they did. By the way, that's how it's spreading from all over the country, is by migratory waterfowl mallard ducks. But the CDC and the WHO have still yet to acknowledge that it's spreading by mallard ducks. To them, it's a mystery of why farms in Colorado, Michigan, Texas would pop up with bird flu. They still are not telling us the story.
Yeah, it's the same as COVID-19, because it's going to be the latest thing they're going to use to usher in some form of totalitarianism. All right, I could spend an hour on that alone. I wanted to make sure I accurately reported, because I've been quoting you on that. So real quick, on blood clotting from the vaccines, from the COVID-19 mRNA vaccinations, when you see the reports coming from the funeral homes, do you buy that as real? I bought it as real. The only way that for me to describe it is almost like calamari type of blood clots. Yeah, Aaron, you see that picture, doctor? I don't know if you can see it or not. But do you believe those are caused by the COVID vaccination, or not all of them necessarily, but at least some of them are caused by the COVID-19 vaccination?
There's a survey by Tom Haviland that's pretty clear. The majority of mortuaries are reporting this. But it's due to the spike protein, again, this spine on the surface of the virus. This spike protein is found inside the blood clots, and it occurs with both COVID and the vaccines. That's the reason why they're finding it in the majority of people. Blood should liquefy at the time of death. That's how they cannulate the vessels and drain the blood out. It's not draining. They dissect and they pull out these huge clots. It's due to the spike protein. The next evaluation really needs to be vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Right, right. So, all right, let me cover. Doctor, can you stay for five more minutes? I told you 45. We're already at 46.
Yeah, just two more minutes. Yeah,
two minutes. Just tell us why, really quickly. Reference SV40 and cancer caused by the vaccination. Just give me a 2-minute summation.
Yeah. So, if heart, neurologic, thrombotic, and immunologic wasn't enough, now there's emerging signals for cancer. Every cancer registry is up all over the world. Papers by Senef, as well as Karagoglis and others, we've actually reported vaccine cancer cases. Now, in general, it takes 5 years from the time a cancer starts to form till it's detected. So we think most of the cancers occurring after vaccination, they existed before the vaccines, and the vaccines are accelerating them. That's the reason why they're called turbo cancers.
Turbo, right. Gotcha. Doctor, thank you so much for all of your time. You're so gracious. Big hero to us. We'd love to have you back. We'll be in contact with your people. Love to have you back sometime in the future. God bless you. Thank you for all that you've done for the nation, for all that you've done for all of us in America. We really appreciate you. You are a genuine hero, and I hope to talk to you again soon. God bless you, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are back and we are live. I hope everybody enjoyed that. How many of you want to go? So 2 minutes till the show is officially over, but do you want some rage time? If you want some rage time, let me know in the chat and we'll go on a little bit longer. I'm going to go on a little bit longer anyway, but if I see a lot of people go longer. How's that? Just a couple of things on this, just so everybody knows. Watch out for this coming up. It's like from a Camus on Twitter, from Jeffrey Jackson. We have something on the horizon in Washington, D.C. in October called the Bird Flu Summit. So we all need to be watching. Is it another Event 201? Mm. Again, it's from a Camus video. I actually have the video, but we're not going to play it tonight because enough on vaccines. But anyway, we need to be watching for this Bird Flu Summit that could be happening in Washington, D.C. Sounds like it's definitively happening in Washington, D.C. Also, you need to know that we talked about Lancet. You know, that's the medical journal, one of the most, like JAMA, one of the most predominant medical journals in America. They've come out with their latest study. And this is from Lancet, who covered up gain-of-function research, who covered up that this was a lab-borne virus at Anthony Fauci's request. Lancet has now come out with the latest study that you are more likely to get COVID if you're vaccinated. They kind of put those COVIDated.
Yeah, COVIDated.
There you go. So you're more. This is now from Lancet, who has said that the vaccine was safe and effective. The Lancet that said it stopped transmission and infection. The Lancet that said it wasn't gain of function research. The Lancet that said that it wasn't a lab borne virus, but is a naturally occurring virus at the wet market with pangolins, 1,000 miles south of Wuhan. Wrong about said that masks worked. Wrong about everything. Have now come out and with a definitive study in The Lancet saying that you are more likely to get COVID if you're vaccinated, which we all knew that anyway.
Yeah.
And one person in the chat asked, what is long COVID? Long COVID is antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, where you're getting COVID over and over and over again, and common colds over and over and over again, flus over and over again, and various other pneumonia over and over again, because you have no real immune system. That's called VAIDS.
Yeah.
You have antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, which causes you, it's an actual ailment called VAIDS. You don't have an affective immune system anymore, and that's most likely by those who have been multi-vaxxed. Vaxxed once, vaxxed twice, Biden vaxxed 6 times. If you are up to date on your COVID vaccinations, it will be 10 in September, 12. I've been off by one number, not the 10, but I thought it was 13 for the immunocompromised. It's 12. So if you want to be up to date in your vaccinations and you're not immunocompromised, you have to have 10 COVID vaccinations for a 99.9% survival virus in September, or 12 if you are immunocompromised.
Jeez.
That's where we're at right now. Now, one thing I want to mention is that if you are vax injured, we're going to pray over you in just a second. And then we're not leaving. I'm not closing in prayer. We're going to pray over you. Scott, a lot. I saw you in the chat that you wanted prayer. So I'm going to pray over you and you will be healed, or nothing bad will ever happen to you if you don't need to be healed from this vaccination, because we're going to leech it out of your body in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we loose is loosed. Matthew 16:19. But I also want to, if you want to go the medical route, Dr. McCullough has what's called the Aaron, if you could put up that McCullough Foundation graphic whenever you get a chance, just so people can kind of know what to look for. From the McCullough Foundation, they have the McCullough Protocol, which is a base spike detoxification, applications of curcumin. So he has found a way to detox the body from the S spike protein. So if you are vax injured, had blood clots or any other vax side effect, we want you well. You're like, Tom, you hate us. I don't hate you. I hate the vax.
Yeah.
I hate the vax. I don't hate the sinner. I hate the sin. I don't hate the liar. I hate the lies. So just understand that. So we want you well, but let's pray right now for anybody. Listen, I'm telling you, might be weird to you. You can bring it back just to me. This might be weird to you. You know what? Go ahead and be weird.
Yeah.
You know, the wisdom of the world, 1 Corinthians 1:21, is not what we need to be following. Jesus spit in the dirt and made mud and put it on a man's eyes. So if it's a little weird, it's a little weird to you. But if you are vax injured or you've taken the vax and you never want to be vax injured, put your hand on whatever screen you're watching this on right now. Put your hand on that screen. We're going to pray over you. It's going to take 10 seconds. Are you ready? For all of those who have come to agreement with me by putting their hands on the screen they're watching this podcast on, right now, in the covenant of Jesus, we demand that every ailment is healed from this vaccination. Every vax-caused ailment is healed right now in Jesus' name. And for those that haven't had any side effects, we bind them from ever having side effects in Jesus' mighty name. It's done. Don't need eloquent prayers. Done in Jesus' name. There we go. All right, now that's all. I'm going to jump off the vax. If I stay on the vax, everybody who knows this podcast knows that we'll be here until 10:48 on the vax alone. I'm not going to do that, even without slides. Aaron says I can do it all without slides. I don't necessarily believe that, but
it's true.
But Aaron believes it. So anyway, I'm going to jump off the vaccine because it's all percolating in my head right now, and I got to go now or I won't leave. Let's hop back on the Biden economy, which is now, try to get this, Caminomics. Caminomics. This is all Caminomics. No more Bidenomics. It's all Caminomics. She's the president, and you can almost sort of expect Biden to step down and make her president so she can pardon Hunter. Watch. I'm not predicting that necessarily yet, because I'm still believing Gavin Newsom's going to run. So because I'm sticking with my predictions.
I agree.
Aaron's with me because we're both. Hey, you know, once we're in. All right. Modern day slavery. Your money supporting this Gunther Eagleman tweet. This should piss everybody off, every American taxpayer off. Illegal alien EBT food stamp balance of 13 grand. All of us pay for that. They're not paying any taxes. They send if they are working. And most of them are not. Most of them are on welfare. They just don't call it welfare. They call it just another name. Instead of calling it welfare, they call it something like for well, just like they do with CRT. They just rename it TRC. We're not teaching CRT. We're teaching TRC. We're innocent, right? Well, we're paying for all of this. This is Caminomics. What's this one person's EBT card? One illegal border invader's EBT card is $13,000 that you and I are paying for in a country that sometime this summer will trickle over $36 trillion in debt, and we're paying for this, just so you know. Go to the next one for me. Here's more on the border. We should be on where, yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys are right. I'm wrong. Where are we at here? I'm lost.
RNC research video.
Okay, hang on. I am completely lost. I've got EJ Antono. I've got modern day slavery and then RNC research.
Yep, that's so, that. Yep. With this, it's a video.
I know, but we missed all of, sorry guys, I missed tech. We have a tech problem here. We missed modern day slavery.
No, that was
the last
one.
Yep, okay, yep. I'm all wrong. They're right as usual. I'm completely wrong.
It's all
right, here we go. Can't read my own writing. So, all right, RNC research video. We're running as everybody knows, a $2 trillion deficit. What are you talking about, Tom? Well, most of you already know I'm preaching to the choir. We bring in between $4 to $5 trillion worth of tax revenue every year. And Joe Biden's budget for fiscal year 2024 was $6.8 trillion. You bring in $4.8 trillion? And you're spending $6.8 trillion. So we are running a $2 trillion deficit. That's the deficit. The debt is $36 trillion. So RNC research video, we're running a $2 trillion deficit. We have to downsize government. Listen to this. Only 6% of federal employees are showing up on the job. Kate, you're going to hear this in the video. But just I want you to make sure you hear it. 6%. Listen to this, Aaron. 6% of federal employees are showing up on the job 40 hours a week. 6% of all federal employees are actually showing up. And where are all these jobs that Caminomics and Bidenomics say that they're producing? They're primarily government jobs. If you are producing government jobs in a economy that's $36 trillion in debt, what is that going to do? Increase the deficit in debts because you're producing nothing. Understand, what does the government produce? What product? Nothing. It's just like a Biden family shell company.
Yeah.
They produce absolutely nothing. So when you're only your jobs that you are quote unquote creating are government jobs, you are actually creating deficits because they put nothing back into the economy. So here it is, RNC research video. It's actually a Fox Business Channel video, $2 trillion deficit. Play for me.
Bureau of Labor Statistics. Biden's jobs are government jobs. And you've got health care is the leading job creator, followed by government jobs. Is this what we see in this report again?
Well, government, I think the number was smaller for government growth, but government should not be hiring more people. The government should be laying off hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. My God, we're running a $2 trillion deficit. We have to downsize government, Maria. We have to, you know, I'm in Washington, D.C. I think I mentioned this on your show a couple weeks ago, that only 6% of federal employees are showing up on the job 40 hours a week. 6%. So you got people making $150,000 a year working 25 hours a week, and that cannot continue.
None of these numbers are actually real. These are the best numbers that they can possibly put out. So when you hear that 41.2 million babies are aborted per year, that's a WHO UN number without California and New York reporting and numerous other nations not reporting. When you hear that the crime rate is down 12%, but 44% of law enforcement agencies are no longer reporting to the UCR, everything that you see is fake. When they tell you that the unemployment rate is actually 4.3%. That's actually completely and totally inaccurate because they're not counting people who have given up even trying. So really what happens is you have, say, 2 million people who are, and this is very simplistic, but they're not the numbers, but if you have 2 million people unemployed and only, and 2 million unemployed, but 1.5 million of them have given up. So then you can say, no, only 500,000 people are unemployed. And then you can say, well, out of that 500,000, 250,000 got a job. So look, now 50% of the unemployed are now employed. No, literally one-tenth of the people who are unemployed are now employed. This is all what's called the Potomac two-step and establishment swamp lying. And 4.3%, just so you know, is the highest unemployment rate since 2021. MAGA War Room video. So here, Kamalanomics. Here's Kamala Harris speaking about Bidenomics, but now we're giving her full credit for Bidenomics by renaming them Kamalanomics. Play for me, Ness.
Bidenomics is working.
Meanwhile, most renters feel like they will never be able to own a home.
The typical starter home is now worth more than $1 million. For many buyers, that means achieving the American dream of owning a home is increasingly difficult, if not impossible.
And Bidenomics is working.
Listen to this stat. Since 2020, food prices have increased 26%, and we are all feeling it when we go grocery shopping.
Bidenomics, it's working. It's a term we're very proud of, I must tell you.
Gas prices are on the climb across the U.S.
Prices are nowhere near the levels they were at in 2020.
And Bidenomics is working.
So if you get three consecutive monthly readings on job gains that are less than 125,000, I'm beginning to smell a recession.
Bidenomics is working.
It's working.
Scooter 8887, the Camel 2-step. That's exactly correct. So, I mean, again, and I don't want to rage too much on this, but it blows my mind as somebody who speaks into a microphone at least 6 days a week to go up to any podium or any microphone and just bold-faced lie. Absolutely blows my mind that you can go up. And this is for both Democrats and Republicans. These people that walk up to a podium and they are esteemed as our leaders, not by people, not red-pilled people like us, the 1130 that are watching right now. We're red-pilled. We don't look at these people as our leaders. Take me to your leaders. We look them as our representatives. And if you don't represent us correctly, we're going to fire your rear end. That's how we look at them. But most people look at Kamala Harris and our elected representatives as our leaders. They are not our leaders. They are elected representatives. We do not have a governing authority. We have a governing document. That's it. But these people are always credentialed as leaders and experts. They have ushered us, and she's talking about Bidenomics. He has added at least $7 or $8 trillion to our deficit in only 3 years. I mean, how do you walk up to a microphone and smile as if you've accomplished anything but ushering in hell on earth? I don't understand people. I mean, literally, if any of us do that on our jobs, again, these people cannot, I have actually downgraded them. I used to say they couldn't run an Applebee's. They couldn't run a Burger King. And Burger King's food is horrible. And they cannot run a Burger King. And they are esteemed, but I mean, imagine if you're a media acolyte. How do you live with yourself? How do you sleep at night reporting as if the Biden administration has accomplished anything but misery, has accomplished anything but galactic level Olympian reaches of incompetence? How can you propagandize like that? Again, I always ask Aaron, help me to understand. I will never understand. I won't get it. Go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, too, with part of Kamala Anomics.
Kamala. You messed me up.
Kamanomics, whatever. Yeah, so today. Kamanomics. Yeah, there you go. Today was apparently the worst day for the stock market. There's the stocks.
Yeah, they're all down.
Since 2020.
S&P's down. Dow is down. NASDAQ is down.
So that's Kamala.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't ever root for the economy to go down because it hurts other people. But you know what? It is good timing. Let it go down. That's how the world is responding to Kamala being named as, you know, the Democratic presidential nominee. All right, let's change subjects. And wokeness tweet. I laid the groundwork for this last night. And yep. I'm like, you should never point out that you got it. Well, I'm pointing it out. I don't care.
Yeah.
I said this last night. She should have spoken up in her post-fight press conference. She should have said, the reason why I quit the fight 40 seconds in, maybe had a broken nose. She told her corner in Italian, this is unfair. She should have looked in the camera and said, this is unfair. I don't like being punched in the face by a man. But instead, she bowed to leverage. Again, listen, the Bible is never wrong. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. That is called leverage, leveraging you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point. They have leveraged Angela Carini. I guarantee you they walked up there and said, you speak the truth, you will never box again.
Yeah.
If you don't speak the truth, we'll sign you to a multi-million dollar contract. She wants to continue to box. So she's been leveraged into lying. Angela Carina is now apologizing to Aman Khalif, a fully penis man who punched her in the face.
Yeah.
And his goal, and I don't know if it's gold medal round, his next fight is tomorrow. So while we're all watching UFC, Aman Khalif is going to be punching another poor woman in the face again. Tomorrow.
Disgusting.
Just so you know, and you already know what the status of the world is, but this is the problem. She made a great stand and then backtracked when the pressure's on. That's when you got to look in the camera and Riley Gaines, that bad boy. Riley Gaines has pretty much lost everything. She's got some of it back now because she's highly esteemed in our circles, but she's lost everything. And she's been terrorized.
Yeah.
Remember they had her pinned in that classroom at the university, refusing to let her out?
Yeah.
She'd been terrorized simply for saying, you know what? I don't want to swim against a man named Bill. I don't want to swim against quote unquote Leah Thomas, whose name is William Thomas, who dates women, who's heterosexual, fully penis, and vacillates back and forth between being gay and straight, and we all know he's actually straight.
Yeah.
Because the only way he's gay is he identifies as a woman and is attracted to women. So he calls himself gay.
Exactly.
And so again, like I've said a million times, the guy ushers himself in the best of both worlds. He's dating women and he's watching women undress every day of his life. Go, Aaron.
He's a fully penis lesbian.
Fully penis lesbian. Just like the Army has to teach you in their SOPs, in their SOP book, you know what, how do you shower next to a fully penis female? And you're like, well, thank goodness that boxing's over. Well, you know, there's another one. Lynn, this thing's driving me nuts. It's balling out of my ear, too. There we go. Lynn Yu Ting. I can make some funny names out of that.
Lin Yuting.
Yeah. I mean, Bing Bang Wow, whatever. But anyway, so Lin Yuting is up next. It just happened at the Olympics today. Here's his fight. A fully penised man who doesn't even try to look like a woman.
No.
Is now punching another woman in the face. Play for me, Nez.
Impressive on the front and back foot. Lin Yuting. She'll be to the quarterfinals. Job done. Lin from Chinese Taipei.
All right, so there you go, and that's Lin Yuting, and here he is beating the living crap out of a girl. And you're like, some, you know, and again, it's not anybody in the 1,080 that are watching the show right now. We're all red-pilled. I mean, does that even look like a guy trying to be a girl? I put up pictures of him last night making some kind of weird hand gesture. I'm like, he doesn't remotely even try to look like a girl. And by the way, either does Iman Khalif. These guys don't even try to look like women.
No.
I mean, what kind of pathetic human being? I talk about the liars walking up to podiums and espousing their expertise. What kind of worthless human being do you have to be to do this? Look at this. And the uppercut is the worst.
Right,
the uppercut is right. Boom. I mean, that will break her jaw. And I mean, there's people like, well, you know what? Men and women are equal. They're not, okay? They're not physically equal. Women can do things men can't do. Men can do things that women can't do. That is the way that it is. God's not a respecter of persons. Romans 2:11, there is no respect of persons with God. God does not esteem male over female. But women should not be physically fighting men. Fine if the women want to be a neurosurgeon or even president of the United States. I don't care about any of those things. But this is not a woman's lane. Right here. What is going on here? Why do we even have to have this discussion? As I rambled on and on about last night, which I'm not going to do to you tonight. Why do we even have to have this ridiculous discussion of a man winning a woman's event? Because both of these men are going to win gold medals. Who's going to beat them?
Exactly.
Who's going to beat nobody? All right. Change the subjects again. Let's go to the Trump shooting. Benny Johnson video. Secret Service acting director Roe. Get this now. Reacts to reporter's question about whistleblower testimony, saying that Roe personally directed cuts. Now, we covered this last night, but here's his actual press conference response that he personally, remember, he answered under freaking oath that he didn't. He needs to be criminally prosecuted. That Roe personally directed cuts to the United States Secret Service agents who do threat assessments for events. Watch him not answer the question. Again, this drives me crazy because there is not one question that you would ask me. Now, if you ask me something very deeply personal, I would say I'm not going to answer that question. But if you ask me anything about what I've done in ministry, ask me anything, really almost anything about my life, I will give you an answer. The answer to the question you asked.
Yeah.
Roe never actually answers one question he's asked. He just hops, skips, and Potomac two steps around it or camel toes it around it, like we named earlier. But, I mean, he never actually answered the question. Watch him obfuscate. It's actually a brilliant lesson on how to obfuscate. Play for me, Nez.
Just a quick question. There's a report that a whistleblower has alleged that you personally directed cuts to the counter-surveillance division, which led to the threat assessments team failing to perform its duties that it typically would before the Butler rally. Is that accurate? Is that allegation accurate?
So I've become aware of this. We got a congressional letter on it. What I can tell you is that the counter-surveillance division, they do a fantastic job. They have a very specific mission set. A lot of that mission set is here in the National Capital Region, focused on permanent protective sites. But they do go out and they support, when requested, they go out and support former details. I know that there's been allegations that that I personally cut or that I, that I denied requests. The Counter-Surveillance Division has been out there supporting the former president's detail at some very high-profile events. They continue to provide that support, and they're out there providing support right now. We're going to respond to the letter that we received, and we'll be sure to make that. I'm sure they will. We'll be able to share that response when the committee says it's okay to respond.
So he's asked point blank again. Ronald Rowe, acting director of the Secret Service, asked a question, whistleblower testimony stating that Rowe personally directed cuts to the United States Secret Service agents' counter-surveillance unit. Now, we know that the counter-surveillance unit, which, by the way, is the sniper team.
Yeah.
CS, counter-surveillance, counter-sniper. This is the same team. We know that they weren't there the day before. We know they weren't there 2 days before. We know they weren't there 3 days before or a week before. We know that if they showed up at all, this is all from Bongino, they showed up, former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino. You want great assessments of this entire event. Make sure you listen to the Dan Bongino show. I listen to it every day. Listen to Alex Jones every day. Listen to Bongino every day. Listen to War Room every day. But he'll give great assessments on it, way better than I can give. But we know that the counter-surveillance team, if they showed up at all, they showed up the day of. That is unfreaking heard of. And they no-showed the 9 o'clock briefing the day of. We know that. So he's asked, remember the question he was asked, did you make cuts to the CSU? So I don't want to keep saying counter-surveillance unit over and over again. Did you make cuts not to the agents assigned to the event? Please understand what the CSU is. They are not the protective detail assigned to the president. This is the counter surveillance unit that responds to events, not the president.
Yeah.
They go and do what's called a threat assessment. They do a threat assessment. If a threat assessment was ever done, it was done the day of, which is unheard of. If anybody actually did a threat assessment of that area, Aaron, see if you can find me the Pac-Man thing again. If they actually did a threat assessment of the area, A, they probably never would have picked that area. They would have probably canceled it, but if they actually did it, they probably would have included the AGR building, which they didn't, because there's probably never a threat assessment done. So Ronald Rowe is asked, did you make cuts to CSU teams specifically? This is their perimeter they set up, 200-yard perimeter right here. Somehow, magically avoiding the building that's owned by Democratic Party funders, Democratic Party donators right there. It's kind of funny, isn't it? People from the Brookings Institute. Biden supporters. Biden campaign donors. Democratic donors own that. I'm not talking about people who make a casual $25 donation. I'm talking about globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitists own that building. And it's magically Pac-Man out of the security bubble. If you had a counter-surveillance unit there, or did they purposely not bring the counter-surveillance unit there so that they wouldn't have a Pac-Man situation? That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
But leave this up the whole time. So here's his answer. Did you make cuts to CSU teams? Did you? His answer is, I got a letter. They do a fantastic job. They do what they do. They go out and do their job. And then he switches. Did I ever make any denials of any requests to the Trump team? That wasn't what you were asked. You were asked, did you personally make cuts to the CSU that would respond to Trump events? That's what he was asked, not the generic request, which, by the way, according to all whistleblowers, he did deny Trump campaign requests over and over and over again because he was in charge of personnel allocations. You're like, Tommy, you get so fired up. I know. I can't stand people just lying and expecting us all to swallow their spoon-fed bull crap. Man, I miss cussing right now. And his last response of, they're out there right now. Oh, really? Thanks, Ron. What an idiot. Fire him and criminally prosecute him for lying under oath. All right, change the subjects again. I mean, I could spend all night. Well, not a full change of subjects. I'm still on the shooting. But here, then I'm going to change the subject. All right, here's Benny Johnson video. Rep. Eli Crane reacts to new footage of Thomas Crooks moving on the rooftop. So here is SEAL sniper. And again, I don't want to be redundant, but I just have to make sure people know this. So you've got Corey Mills, military sniper, congressman out of South Florida. Then you've got Eli Crane, SEAL sniper, left off of Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Assassination Task Force. So the only two snipers in Congress, the ones who can actually do a CSU job, counter-sniper, counter-surveillance job, are left off of the assassination investigative task force. That makes a lot of sense. Why? Because Mike Johnson has been honeypotted or bought off or scared or whatever it is. So he makes sure that all he is a hand puppet of Hakeem Jeffries. I don't know why, but that's the case. So here's Eli Crane reacts to new footage of Thomas Crooks. I mean, just pretty much casually walking, running, crawling up and down a roof within clear view of all the sniper teams. Play for me, Naz.
Just from a tactical perspective, even when we were in Butler a week ago, there's been so much new information that has come to light. And since we were on the rooftop with the sniper's position that the Secret Service snipers had, and we were looking at the roof line, we spoke about how potentially that could be a hard shot if Thomas Crooks was laying on his belly and was crawling and was trying to keep a very low profile. But here I have for your view and for the audience view, the actual Thomas Crooks full body, head and torso and firearm shot from the general direction of the sniper position. Sniper position would actually have a better direction here for Overwatch. I just want to get, first off, your take on this clip, because clearly Thomas Crooks was showing himself to the sniper position of the Secret Service and they did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think this video and more that are going to come out just show, you know, what a complete failure and disaster this was. And I think many of us have known that from the start. But it goes back through and, you know, we have so many questions of why this rally was even held at that site in the first place. You know, Benny, when you and I and Corey Mills were up on that counter sniper roof, the barn behind the president, I was going through, I don't know if you remember, with my laser rangefinder, and I was just ranging all the buildings in and around the site. And it definitely makes me wonder who did the advance work for this site. Who signed off on it saying, hey, this is a good idea and we can execute our no-fail mission to keep the president safe, knowing that we don't have enough bodies to cover all of these threats out there. And I mean, that's one of the first questions that has to be answered, Benny.
So there you go. And there's no more. I mean, that sums it up. And we've already talked about that at length. But I wanted you to see an actual sniper talk about what he saw. And he went back to basically the CSU. Who did the counter surveillance? Who did the threat assessment? Well, what we're hearing, nobody, or maybe the day of.
Yeah.
That's it. And they missed the briefing with local law enforcement and didn't have a unified command center. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's almost as if it was on purpose. And we all know there's no way to reach that level of incompetence. There's no way to do that. That's like walking out of your house on your way to work with no clothes on. You either do that on purpose,
oh yeah,
okay, or you've lost your freaking mind. There's no way to go, whoops, I forgot my clothes.
Darn.
That's exactly what's happened here, is that level of incompetence. Whoops, we have a giant 60-yard Pac-Man that allows for the most dangerous roof to be mounted by a sniper. It's impossible to do this without doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
we all know that. We know that Crooks is the fall guy for the globalist cabal. We all know it. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't find out till we're in heaven. I don't know. We'll find out. All right, let's go. Changing subjects. Back to the border. Kamala Harris's $5 billion border strategy. We were just wondering why. I can't remember exactly how many kids it is that I actually put slides up of how many per year are missing, hundreds of thousands per year in the United States of America alone. Wonder why all these kids are just missing. I mean, let's talk about this for just a moment. I'm not talking about that they're missing for a day, a week, a month, a year. I'm talking about vanished off the freaking globe.
460,000.
460,000 per year.
Yeah.
For off the globe, right?
In the United States.
In the U.S. alone. And then we added up other ones, and there was countries that were somewhat in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because part of that 460, right here, disappeared off the globe. The Biden administration, remember, this is all bold-faced lies. What they feel like they can get away with is that they've lost 80,000 kids. Think about 80,000 kids is more than the amount of American soldiers that died in Vietnam, and almost more than Vietnam and Korea combined, disappeared just in the Biden administration. And that was 2 years ago. 80,000 gone. So we're at minimum 160,000 now. And according to CBP statistics, all statistics you get from the border are at least one times what you're hearing, up to five times what you're hearing. So it could be 80,000 times five. So, I mean, you think that that's minimum of 400,000 kids gone? Well, there you go. 8 million worldwide per year disappear. You're like, that's impossible, Tom. Listen, you've got to think of the world as it is with 8 billion people. That's why they can get away with 35 million excess vaccine deaths.
Yeah.
8 billion people. Remember, a billion is 1,000 millions, and a million is 1,000 thousands. Think about that in terms of money, in terms of people. 500,000 kids under the Biden administration alone have been allowed to enter this country using mules, using uncles and aunts. And you have whistleblowers from inside these NGOs, and people that supervise these NGOs are saying that the United States government is involved with purposely trafficking children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've played it. Why would anybody do that to themselves? I mean, you look at the NGOs, whether it's Catholic Charities or wherever they are, in the Darien Gap set up with these multi-hundred-thousand-dollar, multi-million-dollar setups to process these children into labor, into sex trafficking, into drug muling, whatever they're doing. This is so evil. Whenever you want to find the devil, find wherever they're killing or sexualizing kids, you will find Satan right there. 41.2 million abortions a year, 500,000 kids trafficked in the Biden administration alone, 8 million missing per year around the globe, missing, vanished off the globe. You'll find the devil. You'll always find, and wherever you go, when you study history, you want to find the devil, things being sacrificed to Baal, sacrificed to whatever the Aztecs called their god, which was actually the devil, because there's only one true God, and that's the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But look at this, $5 billion budget, 500,000 unaccompanied migrant children shipped to the United States of America. All right, go to the next one for me. Just changing subjects left and right. I have to show you this stuff. Look at the data on the bottom. This is from 2-3 days ago. Minnesota High Court sets. So you have to watch. You know, well, I don't care about what happens in Minnesota. Listen, everything when it comes to law is based on that word right there, precedent. Once one court sets it, one appellate court sets it, then you have to go through an entire process of unsetting the precedent.
Yep.
And exactly. The precedent then goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. So you have to watch these precedents. Like, well, that won't affect us in Florida. Not now, but if somebody challenges it up to the SCOTUS, it can. And then you better watch out and not live in Minnesota if you want to defend yourself. Minnesota High Court set self-defense precedent in machete case. So here's the thing. Somebody comes at you with a machete, you have to retreat before brandishing weapon. That's the precedent, or you'll be found guilty of murder. When you defend yourself, do you everybody seen that video? Like, his last name is like Mui or something like that. The guy who just got convicted of stabbing those kids in the river. Do you watch that? I mean, obvious self-defense, obvious freaking self-defense. He just got a 20-year sentence. He's attacked, thrown in, punched in the face, and he gets sentenced to prison by an idiot judge and an idiot jury who, I mean, you look at Rittenhouse, and I know Rittenhouse crapped the bed and saying that he's going to write in Ron Paul and then retract that he's going to write in Ron Paul. He's not voting for Trump. That's because Rittenhouse's money comes from an anti-Trump, pro-gun company.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what he's doing. Quit. Kyle, stop whoring yourself. Don't be a whore. Speak the truth. Don't whore yourself out. I've already unfollowed you. I don't care that you retracted the statement because you showed me that you'll grab your ankles at the drop of a dime. All of us MAGA people are the ones who supported you. You don't just turn your back on us and then retract it and say, okay, I turned my back on you. Now I'm not going to turn my back on you. But Kyle Rittenhouse, his case was obviously self-defense. It was on videotape.
Yeah.
You know, when my voice goes high, you know I'm hot. It was on, maybe you sit there watching on videotape. Gage Rosenkrantz, as one of the three people that he shot, pointed his gun at his head.
Yep.
The other idiot was beating him in the back of the neck with a skateboard. You know, you might not have beat somebody in the back of the head with a skateboard when they have an AR-15. call me crazy. And if you're Gage Rosencrantz, yes, you shot me and obliterated my bicep. Well, don't point your 9mm at somebody's forehead.
Yeah.
Who's carrying an AR-15 pointed at you too, moron? So now, if somebody's coming at you with a machete, you have to run away first while they're chasing you with a machete and then pull your gun out. You have to run away first. The court ruled that you cannot brandish a deadly weapon even when you are under attack if you can reasonably retreat. A dissenting opinion called it unprecedented in American history. No kidding. It's cop for 25 years, 19. I always let people know. I know all of you that watch the show already know. I don't mean to be overly redundant with you, but people just need to know the bona fides. Cop right here, Sarasota County, right where I'm sitting, 25 years, 1992 to 2017. That is the antithesis of all police training. You never have somebody come at you with a knife, with a machete, and not already be drawn down on them before.
Yeah.
They make a move towards you. Do you know how fast people can stab?
Oh.
A lot of times faster than you can shoot. No way, Tom. You know, I'm Jesse James. You know, I'm wider. No, you're not. No. And neither am I.
Nope.
Especially if you're a cop and you've got it holstered, trying to get that out when somebody's running at you with a machete.
Yeah.
You ever watch those machete fights on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Not YouTube. Probably too violent for
Twitter.
YouTube. Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see people get their hand. I shouldn't say people. I watched one. You ever watched I'm sure there's many. But I watched one. I sadly gave it to Aaron and my son. They love it. I hate them, but they like them. Guy wandering around. I think he had to pick his hand off the ground.
He did. Yeah.
Picked up his hand off the ground because there was a machete fight. I don't remember what country.
Yeah, I think it was like Brazil, and they cut from his like elbow off, and he had to go pick up his arm.
Yeah,
off the
he had
ground.
To go pick up his body parts. So yeah. you have no idea, nor do I, how fast somebody can cover ground. What if it's a great athlete? You're going to get that thing out, and you're going to make a shot. And by the way, it's not like the movies. You shoot somebody with a 9mm, they'll shake it off.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now. I mean, that's why cop shops, police agencies have upped their firearms a lot of times to Glock 40s instead of 9mm. Because of 9mm won't put somebody to the ground. Chopper Supernut, thank you. $5. Really appreciate you. We'll do the Rumble rant list in a minute. So this is precedent right now. It doesn't apply to your state, but you need to make sure that you understand self-defense laws in your state, or you will go to prison the rest of your life. I'm not kidding you. Get the heck out of these states.
Yeah.
Get out. Get out of Minnesota. Get out of these states that are legislative, because they're trying to put you in prison and they'll sleep like babies at night. It is patently obvious what Rittenhouse did was self-defense. What Mui or whatever his name was in the river with all those kids was self-defense. Blatantly obvious. And that guy will be in prison for 20 years. Kyle Rittenhouse could have been in prison. What was he, 17 at the time of the shooting? Could have been in prison for the rest of his life over. Well, you're like, Tom, that's impossible. I won't get into it too far, but everybody believes, a lot of people believe in the justice system. You shouldn't. The jury of your peers, you're probably is a jury of idiots.
Yeah.
Asinine idiots who don't know the law. Well, I don't think you really deserve to be shot. It's not up to you to decide whether anybody deserves to be shot or not. It's self-defense or it's murder. It's self-defense or it's manslaughter. You read the statutes and they don't do it. It's blatantly obvious self-defense.
Yeah.
And if somebody is coming at you with a machete, you should not have to reasonably retreat first. What does reasonably mean?
I was just going
to
ask.
Yeah. 5 foot, 10 foot, 1 foot. Idiocy. Look at this stupid idiot. This is a woman right here who looks like a dude, trying to look like a dude, lopped all of her hair off. This is one of my pet peeves. You ever hear me preach?
Childless cat lady.
Childless cat lady right here who's trying to find meaning in life by somehow legislating from the bench. Garbage. Who's constantly surrounded by people with guns.
Yep.
Every day of her life. Who's totally safe. She ain't got to worry about machete attacks. Other people in America do. I was supposed to stop at 10:35. I blew it. So it's 10:41. I almost made it unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It really is. All right, that's good. 41 minutes into overtime. Love you guys. Appreciate you. I'm not back till Monday. Man, that's a long time.
That's Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Everybody be at Foundation Church this Sunday, online or in person. I see all you guys talking. Listen, meet me here. Let's break our record. You guys have broke all the records. We're growing nation. You've helped to break all the records. Everybody in the chat. I see Fedora the Explorer at church. Other people I've met from the chat at church also. Come to church. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I hope you don't mind me using a Fedora. You're awfully popular in the chat. So bring them in, Fedora. Bring them to church. And whether it's online or in person, It's easy. You're talking about an hour and a half of your life. That's it. Meet, be in church on Sunday morning right here at Foundation Church. Don't go back to those weak sauce churches, those lukewarm churches, those COVID caving churches just because they're friendlier. Come to the paddles. I'll thump you back to life in Jesus' mighty name. Back into a fervent relationship with Christ. A Bible-believing, hellfire, brimstone, promises of God. God wants you well. God wants you healthy. God wants you to resist the new world order. God wants you to be a shining city on a hill. He wants you to be a warrior for Christ. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. Be there. All right, Rumble Rants, Buckeye Nut, 1968, $100. Thank you so much. Texas Billy, now I know who you are, Texas Billy. I didn't know who you were. Now I do. He comes to Foundation Church. He's a really good friend of mine, actually. Love you. $50. Nude Monk, always reliable. $50. Thank you, Nude Monk. Aaron Yeager, our producer, $20. His wife, Naz Yeager, $20. Tammy Margritter, $10. Kelsey K, 756, $5. Chopper Supernut, one of the greatest names in the chat, $5. Love you guys. Stick around. It's a quick post game. It's great. You've got to see it. Love you guys. Stick around for it. And I will see you Sunday morning. God richly bless you in Jesus' mighty name. That if you did what God wanted you to do every day for years, you would never see your prayers go unanswered. And I mean specifically. I don't mean, well, yeah, they were answered, but it really wasn't what I wanted, so I'm getting the deep meaning out of it. No, I'm talking about specifically what you want. If you did what you're supposed to do every day for years, they would get all of your prayer requests and all the answers would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, just sitting under the Word of God. There's nobody, you know, I tried that. You didn't try it but for a week. You didn't try it but for a month. You didn't try it but for a year. You go to anybody who's done it year after year after year. They, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, never stumble. Never.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.